We continue our learning Ili Nishmas David ben Menachem Rosh Hashem Yaakov and Pinchas Aliya. We're in Ksuvos Perek Beis Mishnah Tes. How Isha Shenech B'Shavi De Goyim. You have a case where a woman was imprisoned by non-Jews, and the Mishnah says Ali De Mamon. We're speaking about a case where the reason she's imprisoned relates to some financial matter. Maybe she borrowed money from the non-Jews and didn't pay back. Possibly her husband borrowed the money and he wasn't able to pay back, so they imprisoned the wife as an incentive to get the husband to pay back. And some others claim, no, she was imprisoned for ransom. And that's what it means, alidei mamon. So the Mishnah here says, muteras labala. She's permitted to return to her husband. And this is the consideration here, of course, is, well, maybe she was violated by the non-Jews. If she's violated by the non-Jews, so the general rule is that if she's married to a Kohen, she should not be able to return to the Kohen, even if she was violated by ones. If she was violated by Ratzon, she can't even return to her husband if he's a Yisrael. So here the Mishnah says she can return to her husband because, as the Bartanur explains, they're not going to violate her because they're afraid they're going to lose out on their money. But then the Gemara qualifies, then the Bartanur quotes on the Gemara, V'davka k'sheyad Yisrael takifa ala ovdei kochavim. This is only true where the hand of the Jewish people is stronger than that of the non-Jews. The Jews have dominion over the non-Jews. Azmu teres labala, afilo bala kohen. And this would be true even if the husband is a kohen, because we know that this woman was not touched. Different than the case of Shvuya, of a woman who's taken captive, who we assume possibly was violated and therefore cannot return to her husband if he's a Kohen, Mishim Demirsisi, Lahafsid Mamonim, because in our Mishnah, but they imprison her for financial matters, so they're afraid to lose out on their money and they won't touch her. But that's all where it's Yad Yisrael Takifa. Aval Keshed Yad Ovdei Kohavim Takifa. But if the non-Jews have dominion, then Afilu Alidei Mamon, Asru Labala, she cannot return to her husband in Bala Kohen. Because we're afraid that they violated her. It may have been ba'ones, but because Yad Ovdei Kochavim is takifa, they're not afraid they're going to lose their money. But if it's a Bali Yisrael, says the Batanura, Muteres Becholinyan, the Eshes Yisrael Shenensa, we know an Eshes Yisrael who was violated, was raped, Muteres Labala, because it was a case of ones. But the Mishnah continues, Al Yudei Nefashos, let's say she was imprisoned because she was condemned to death for something she did. The Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin assumes that it would be true if the husband was the one who was sentenced to death because he was the god of, let's say, or according to one opinion, maybe he murdered someone according to another opinion, and therefore she was taken captive because of that. So here we say Asru Labala. If somehow this woman, let's say, was freed from prison, she's usher to her husband, and this would be true even Labala Yisrael, says the Bar Tanura, Dechayshin on Shema Niv Ala Beratzon Lechemhem. We're afraid that maybe she actually was willing to have relations with one of the captors, or in this case not a captor, with one of the prison guards, let's say one of the non-Jews. Maybe a bit with Baratzon. And others say no. The only concern here, once again, is if she's an Ashes Kohen. But if Ashes Yisrael, we assume she didn't give in willingly, it was only Ba'onis, and she can return to that husband. Says the Mishnah now the following. Irshek Vasha Karkom. Here you have a city that was besieged by non-Jews. Kol Kohanos Shenimsu Besocha Psulos. All women who are married to a Kohen are usur, meaning are disqualified, are considered defiled, and cannot return to their husbands. Why? What are we afraid? So Baratunra says, Asurus LeKohen, the Ashes Kohen, Asuruk Shenensa. An Ashes Kohen is usur when she, even if she was violated, even if she was raped, even if it was against her will. So others say that, no, this is not only true when it comes to an Ashes Kohen, when it says Kol Kohanos, this would be true to any, even girls who are single, who now are ineligible to marry a Kohen, because if they were afraid they were violated by a man, now she has the status of a zona and cannot marry a Kohen. The Gemara says, and the Bar Tanur quotes this from the Gemara as well, that there's a qualification of this halacha. And that is, if the city has, and I quote from the Bar Tanur, of Yesh Beir Machavoa Achas, there's a hiding place. And a hiding place, even Sheyichola Isha Achas Lehechavesham, even one woman could hide there. Only room for one woman. Call Achas Va'achas Minishayho Ir. every one of the women in the city, ne'emanos lomar b'machavo anech beisi v'lo netmeisi. They're believed to say, I hid away, and therefore I was not defiled. And not only that, she also has a migo, she'yichol mitoch she'yichol lomar anech beisi, because she has the potential to say, I hid, ne'emanes gam kein g'sham alo anech beisi v'lo netmeisi. Because she has a migo, she can even say, you know what, I didn't hide. I could have claimed that I hid, because that would have been my migo. I didn't hide, but I was not defiled. And she's believed to do that if there's a place to hide. There's only room for one woman. Doesn't matter. Each and every woman is able to come with that kind of claim because there was room for one woman. And even if there are 100,000 women, it doesn't make a difference. That would work. And they have that. We would believe them based on that claim and based on that migo that they were not defiled by any of the non-Jews, and they can return to their husbands who are a Kohen. And the Mishnah says, "Im yesh lahem edim, let they are. We have witnesses who can testify, and this is true. Even one witness, as we've had in the past, to testify that they were not violated at all. That works. Afilu eved, afilu shivcha. Even an eved, even with shivcha. Question about it has to be done meisiach lefi tumo. Casually, do they know the legal ramifications of what they're saying, or maybe not? But either way, the Mishnah here says harei elu ne'emanim. They are going to be believed. The Gemara has one qualification though, and that is based on the Gemara daf chav zayin amid beis. Let's say it's the shivcha who is testifying about her mistress. So there, we're afraid that she is not necessarily telling the truth. This is because of her relationship with her mistress that she's coming to testify in her behalf. So that may not be allowed. Then the mistress says, "V'ein adam neman al yedei atzma," but the person is not believed to themselves. The woman is not believed to testify she was not defiled. When, after all, we have witnesses that say she was captured, and her husband is not believed about her either. Either because ishto kegufo, they're like the same woman, or because we don't believe him because this is letova. So this is for his benefit that he's testifying. So therefore, ein adam neman al yedei atzmo, not the woman and not the husband. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah brings a support for this idea that if we know someone was imprisoned, or the city there was in this case the city was besieged, rather. All the Kohanos, all the women married to a Kohen are psulos. We have to assume, unless we have Adim to testify otherwise. And here comes this story to support that. I'm Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav. Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav said, and he was a Kohen, Hamon Azeh, I testify, I take an oath. Hamon Azeh, like by the Beis HaMikdash, Ma'on, an abode. I testify by the Beis HaMikdash that Lo Zazad Yadam Mitoch Yadi Mishash Enichnasu Goyim Liushalayim Vache Yetzoh. It was the time of the siege of the second Beis HaMikdash of the city of Yerushalayim, and he and his wife was in that city. He's a Kohen, and he wants to remain married to her. And he says, I can testify that I was holding her hand the whole time from the beginning to the end. I was with her, and she was not defiled at all. Amrulo, so the Chachamim said, I'm sorry, nothing we could do. Person is not permitted to testify on their own behalf for themselves. And therefore, this is we cannot believe you. And therefore, Rabbi Chaim ben Akatzav is not permitted to stay with his wife to live intimately. The Gemara describes the fact that they actually did stay married, but they never had yichud together. The children made sure to go into the house to make sure they were never secluded one with the other because of this tragic story. Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Ve'elu Ne'emanin LaHa'id BeGadlan Masherou BeKatnan. Here we have a case where someone is testifying after their bar mitzvah. They're old enough to testify, but it's about something that they saw when they were a katan. Now, normally we would not allow such a thing because the eyewitness testimony that they had was when they were a katan. Nonetheless, because these cases are only midrabanan, as we will see, or maybe even less than a midrabanan, we will allow this person to testify now that they're older about something they saw when they were young. So what are these cases? So case number one, Neman Adam Lo. We believe this person to testify that when they were younger, they knew this signature. This was my father's signature. This was my Rebbe's signature. This is my brother's signature. And the Gemara wants to know why you have to give me all these examples, because maybe I would have thought, oh, he definitely recognizes his father's signature, but maybe not his Rebbe's. Or maybe he recognizes his Rebbe's because of his reverence for his Rebbe. He made sure to see what his handwriting looks like, but maybe not his brother. But now, so the Mishnah says, no, even even his brother. And the Rishonim even debate, so after you have all these three, does that mean it's only these three that we believe this person to testify about, what they saw when they were younger, when they're older? Or now when they have all these three examples, they can testify about anyone's signature. Either way, we allow this because what they're really doing is they're coming to do what we've said in the past, kiyum shtaros. You have a shtar. A shtar has two edim written on it. On a d'oraisa level, we have Reish Lakish's principle, which is edim hachasur mimal ashtar. If we have edim who signed on a shtar, nase kimi shenechkara edusun bebeistin. It's as if that edus, that testimony, was already investigated in Beistin, and therefore that shtar should be acceptable on a d'oraisa level. Midrabanan, because we're afraid of errors of people contesting the validity of the shtar, therefore we have to verify the signatures. We've mentioned that in the past. Have different ways we do that, either by looking at these same signatures on another shtar that was verified, or we have the edim themselves testify about their signatures, or other edim who come to testify that we recognize these signatures. So what's happening here is a case of kiyum shtaros. We have this person who is testifying, and some say that maybe he would need should someone else be along with him or not? So that's an interesting discussion. But here he's testifying to the fact that this is a signature of my father, my Rebbe, or my brother, and we're doing Kiyum Shtaros. So Kiyum Shtaros, since it's only Midrabanan anyway, so that's why we allow this Kiyum Shtaros, this person, to testify what he saw when he was a katan. So that's what it means. Now, and then we mentioned this idea. The Gemara does qualify and say we only believe him with another witness who recognizes the signature from the time of being an adult. And then the Mishnah says, what's another case that we allow? Zachar hayisi biflonis sheyatzisa bihinuma varosha parua. Another case, you have this person testify. Oh, I remember he was maybe 8 years old at the wedding, but I remember this woman at her wedding, this girl went out with his hinuma. We mentioned two explanations of hinuma. Either means the canopy, the chuppah with hadassim, or maybe it was the special veil that she had, or Rosh Parua, that her hair was uncovered and it was down to her shoulders, which is a sign she was a basula. Obviously, we're talking about a case where in court this woman is demanding a ksuba of 200 and the husband is saying, no, I'm not giving you a full ksuba of a basula, so we need testimony. So this kid comes along to tell us this information. So if this is the case, why would we allow this? Ksuva, we have money, financial matters. Aren't we dealing with doraisas here? So the answer is no, because a woman has a cheskas besula already from the moment she's born. And unless you can prove otherwise, we assume she has the chazaka. So this testimony is really not testimony at all. It's what we call a gilui milsa ba'oma, just revealing the matter. It's kind of confirming something that we should already know, that she's a basula, and therefore we believe him to say, I was at that wedding, even though I was a katan at that time, and indeed, there were signs that she was a basula. Next, the shahaya ish ploni yotzi mibeis ha-sefer litbo lechol b'truma. He's testifying at this age, that of these ober bar mitzvah, about something he remembers when he was younger. Oh, when I was 7 years old, I remember being in school, and my friend Katz, or Cohen, the Cohen, he was taking. They brought him out early from school. They said, we got to bring him to the mikveh this after a busy day today. We got to bring him to the mikveh to make him Torah, because tonight the bread we're eating is truma bread, and we have to wait till Harav Shemesh, till the sun sets. So I remember they took him out. So that should be enough to testify that he is his friend is really a Kohen. Now that eating truma is doraisa. So how do we allow such a thing based on this, which is not real testimony? This person saw this when he was a katan. So the Gemara says this is only truma derabanan. We only allow this would be a case truma derabanan, maybe truma bizman hazeh, truma derabanan, maybe where that which was grown in a flower pot that did not have a hole in it, and therefore it wasn't getting any nourishment from the ground, and anything that grows in a flower pot that doesn't have nourishment from the ground is only midrabanan. So that's where the truma grew, and it's truma derabanan, and that's why we allow this person. Vishahaya chole kimanu alagorin, or this guy, once again, who's over bar mitzvah, testifies about something that he knew when he was younger. I remember I was at the granary, and I remember that this guy would come and collect the truma at the granary with me. So obviously he's testifying that this other person is a Kohen. And now maybe he's not a Kohen, maybe he's an Eved Kohen, maybe he's a non-Jew. So the answer is no, we don't allow an Eved Kohen to collect at the granary unless his master is with him. So the fact that the master wasn't with him must be that this kid that he's testifying about was really a Kohen. And once again, this is only with respect to Truma Derabbanan. V'hamokam hazeh beis hapras. We believe him to say that this area is a Beis HaPras. Beis HaPras is where you have a grave, which was in an area, but the whole area was plowed. So we assume maybe the body's not there anymore, but it could be that maybe there's an Etzem Kisaora. Maybe there's a little bone the size of a barley seed that's still there, and maybe a Kohen shouldn't be in that area as of a Suffolk. So the halacha is that the radius of 100 Amos around that area, where that grave was, is considered a Beis HaPras, and the Kohen should not walk there. So off limits. The area beyond that is acceptable. So this kid or this person who saw when he was, I remember when I was younger, that area, so they called that a Beis HaPras, but beyond this area is not a Beis HaPras. We believe him because the whole din of Beis HaPras anyway is that it's Tamei for a Kohen is only Midarabanan. Va'ad Kan Hayinu Barn B'Shabbos. He's testifying, oh, up until this point we've been on Shabbos. I remember when I was 6 years old, I remember that they said this is the end of Tchum Shabbos. You can't walk another step. This is already 2,000 Amos beyond the city's limit. Since the whole din of Tchum Shabbos is only Derabbanan, now those who say that only 2,000 Amos is the Derabbanan, 12 mil going 12, 2,000 Amos is 1 mil, about 1 kilometer, but 12 mil, that may be beyond that, maybe that was the size of Machane Israel in the Midbar, that may be going beyond that, beyond the city's limits, maybe a Da'oraisa, so that's some Rishonim hold that way, but here we're talking about Tchum Shabbos, that's Midrabbanan, the 2,000 Amos. And therefore, we believe him to testify that beyond this is the Tchum, but before this is within the Tchum. And then Mishnah says, but this is where we do not believe him. But he's not believed to say that when I was a katan, I saw the following. This person had a path through someone else's yard. Now, that's someone else's yard. That's someone else's property. These are financial matters. These are Daraisa halachos. So here, money matters. We're not going to believe this kid to say, when I was 9 years old, I remember that this person was able to walk through the other person's backyard. He had a path there, and that's acceptable. The case came to court. And they bring in this kid to tell us that this guy used to pass through and the owner of the house says that he has no right to do that. We don't believe the katan. We don't believe this person now that he's older to testify about what he saw when he was a katan. And what else is he not believed about? Also a financial matter. Maman umispeid hayolaploni b'makam hazeh. This person had a maman umispeid. Maman umispeid is referring to whether on the way to the kavura or the way back from the kavura was a place where we know we do this today on the way to the kavura. Maman, we stand and we also sit. And we say, and there are certain things that we say. Today we pause 7 times. That's mama. That's mano mamoshav. And mispeid is where they would eulogize the people on the way to the kavura. So this is something that it was a particular area that let's say this family would walk through this property, and they have ownership of this area mama no mispeid for this particular person in this place. And someone obviously is bringing the person to court and saying, no, you have no right to walk here and walk through this place on the way to funerals. So this child. Is not this person who's over bar mitzvah cannot testify that indeed this area belonged to so-and-so when he was a katan because this is a financial matter.